Hello. Has anyone ever said to you, don't all religions lead to God? It's an objection you might find when you speak with people about the Christian faith. And that question's at the heart of our talk today on Search for Truth. Brian Johnston, our Bible teacher, will seek to get into the thinking which lies behind such a question and use Bible verses to clarify our ideas and beliefs. It's programme 2 in this 10-part series. It's called Overcoming Objections to the Gospel. So it's great to have you with us today. Hope you can stay for the next 10 minutes or so as Brian deals with the question, don't all religions lead to God? He begins with the verse of a poem.
We believe that all religions are basically the same, at least the ones we read were. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. So says the poet Steve Turner in one of his satirical poems. The lines we've just quoted aim to make the point that the reality about various religions is very different from popular opinion. People say all religions are basically the same, but a closer look shows this isn't the case at all. Even if all roads were to lead to Rome, it's certainly not true that all religions lead to God. Although the packaging might seem similar at a casual glance, the actual contents are very different. But someone could say, does it really matter anyway? To answer that, allow me to share a story which may quickly become familiar. It had been a thirsty journey. The stranger, now tired, sat by the village well. After a while he saw a figure emerge from the neighbouring city and head towards the well. It was a Samaritan woman from Sychar, a city of Samaria, coming to draw water. As she approached the well, she'd no reason to believe this day would turn out to be much different from any other. No reason at all to suspect that the stranger at the well would turn out to be the Son of God. What was immediately obvious to her was his Jewishness. But when he began to speak to her, revealing supernatural knowledge of her past life, she realised he must at least be a prophet. No doubt she felt uncomfortable, because her past life wasn't one to be proud of. At the very first opportunity, she tried to steer the conversation away from this topic by introducing the vexed issue of religious differences between Jew and Samaritan into their conversation. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, she said, as recorded in John's Gospel chapter 4. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. It seems there's nothing like religion when you want to be controversial. Sadly, just as here, it's often used as a smokescreen to divert attention from personal issues. But she'd have to return to those, just like we all do sooner or later, when face to face with the claims of Jesus Christ. Jesus brought the Samaritan woman to the point of decision. For when she talked of the coming Messiah or Saviour, Jesus said plainly, I am he. And so a woman with a non-Jewish religious background came to accept Jesus as the Saviour of the world. He is the Saviour of the world, for in all its nationalities and cultures, there's no alternative. During his life, Jesus confronted those of his own nation with the same claim that he was the Messiah or Saviour, indicating that the way of salvation was no different even for proud religious Jews. He could say to them, bringing them also to the point of decision, except you believe I am he, you'll die in your sins. There's the same claim again, I am he, this time to Jews. Jesus claimed to be the one the world had been waiting for ever since the disaster in the Garden of Eden. Whether to practicing Jews or to non-Jews, in fact, whatever our religious background or culture, God's message to the world and to every race following the death of his Son is believe on Jesus and be saved, meaning saved from the penalty our sins justly deserve. But when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's an exclusive claim, right? When Jesus said, I am the way, he was meaning everyone else is not the way. I'm reminded at this point of Edison, the inventor of the light bulb. Before he found the way to do it, he first experienced 1,100 failures. Someone sympathised with him, You must have felt like you wasted your time. Edison's reply was remarkable in its precision. Not at all, he said. I first found out 1,100 ways how not to do it. Arguing in the same manner, we can say that Jesus is the way to God and everyone or everything else is not the way. Very often today, you find a reaction against exclusive claims like that. In the mood of the world nowadays, such exclusive claims are regarded as unacceptable. But what are we to do? To back away from the plain intent of Jesus' words would be to redefine Christianity. And then it's no longer Christianity. In any case, society's preference for being inclusive cannot be held to apply to a matter of truth like this. How can truth ever be all-inclusive? If it is, then there can be no such thing as error. And of course, if there's no such thing as error, then there's really no such thing as truth either. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a bit like saying 2 plus 2 equals 4, not 3 or 5, but 4, for that's the way it is. The 3 and the 5 are excluded from being the correct answer. Ah, but someone says, that may be what you believe to be true, but it may not be the truth for some other people. Sometimes they give an illustration of what they mean. They say, suppose a student is tied to a railway track for a prank. He should be okay, for the approaching train is on the next track, right alongside. But when the train whizzes by on the next line, the student has a heart attack and dies because he wasn't told that the train was on the other line. As far as he's concerned, the train may as well have been on his line. He believed it was true, and so it became the truth for him, in fact. In a similar way, it's claimed that what's not true for me may actually become the truth as far as you're concerned. Truth, you see, is supposed to be relative. In fact, we are told that there's no such thing as absolute truth. But this is nonsense. The objector is simply cheating with words. For tell me, how can it be absolutely true that there's no such thing as absolute truth? It can't, obviously. It's a contradiction in terms. Today, there are still those who think they found an alternative way of salvation, or a religious counterpart to Jesus Christ, or else they may exclude themselves from Christ on account of their own religious background, all of them holding these views very sincerely. But all the sincerity in the world can't change reality. We may cling to a system of beliefs which are very laudable in as far as they go. We say again, we may be very sincere, but all the sincerity in the world can't alter objective truth. Reality doesn't oblige us by changing for us just because we want it to. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he, the Bible says, died for our sins and rose again. No one else has done that. The truth about Jesus Christ is the all-important issue. It's a person's attitude to Christ that determines his or her eternal destiny. No matter the merits of other belief or value systems, and no matter how sincerely they're held, the truth is that God was in Jesus entering human history and fulfilling his plan of salvation. And except that we believe that, we'll die in our sins. While it's true that we all have a right to believe what we like, we've all got to accept the consequences of that. There are many laws that can be changed, for example by governments, but there are other laws, like the law of gravity, that belong to a different category. Let's say you take it into your head to try to suspend the law of gravity, and you believe very sincerely that you're really able to do this. The moment you step off the rooftop, you'll discover that's one law you're actually powerless to alter. And all God's laws are like that. And so when he commands us to turn from our sins and turn to his son Jesus in simple faith, we really must accept this. The Bible says plainly that in none other is there salvation other than Jesus. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. All paths to God are not the same. They differ on the crucial point of who Jesus Christ is. He's the only way to the Father. Different faiths or religions may look as though there are major similarities in terms of how they're packaged, but in terms of their actual contents, they're radically different. Christianity says there's only one God. Other religions say there are many, even millions of so-called gods. Some religions even claim to work equally well if there's no God. Biblical Christianity says we're appointed to die only once, not many times, unlike claims made in some world religions. Christianity says God has a son, a fact denied elsewhere in the world of religion. Christianity tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh and died on the cross for our sins. But you can find at least one other major religion which claims the opposite, that Jesus Christ was not, in fact, executed on the cross. This is fundamentally important, for the historical reality of Jesus' crucifixion is an essential teaching of the Christian faith. Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 says. And this, Christianity explains, was to bring forgiveness to all who believe in him. And there we have it. No other faith system offers forgiveness. This is the uniqueness of the Christ of Christianity, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life.
You might be listening to these talks as someone who has a particular objection to the gospel, or as a Christian believer who wants to help others overcome their objections. Whichever category you happen to be, I hope you found the talk helpful. If you have any questions or you'd like one or more copies of the free transcript booklet, ask for Overcoming Objections, and you can write to Search for Truth, P.O. Box 111, Lee, spelt L-E-I-G-H, and the postcode is WN71WJ, England. If you're listening in Australia, write to Search for Truth, Box 748, Ringwood, Victoria 3134. Listeners in Africa, please write to Search for Truth, P.O. Box 70115, Chelomini, Blantyre, Malawi, or Search for Truth, P.O. Box 37, Surulere, Lagos State, Nigeria. Canadian listeners, write to Search for Truth, P.O. Box 28026, Brantford, Ontario, N3R7E0. Alternatively, you can email us. The address is sft@churchesofgod.info, and you might like to visit our website at www.searchfortruth.org.uk. So thanks again for the privilege of your company. Till next week, it's cheerio from all of us in the studio, and may God richly bless you wherever you are.